Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Truly, it has been an incredible weekend, and Anthony shared so much with you in the introduction today. But I just want to say, you know, Friday night when we kicked off this thing, Anthony did an incredible, incredible job preaching the Word. Didn't he, guys? Anthony's a young man that has a deep love for God and a deep conviction about His Word. One of the things he said is that we cannot be useful to God if we don't have the same interest as God. Let that resonate. That's very, very profound. If you're a boss, you have an employee, they're going to be more useful to you the more they share your same thoughts, your same concerns, and your same interest. And I'm talking to the men and women that want to be useful to the Master here today. We need to share the interest of God. God is looking for men and women who feel the same way about things that He feels. You know, it's incredible how much effort it takes in order to really make one disciple. If those of you that are disciples and you're striving to help other people, it takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of wisdom. It takes a lot of effort. And so really today, I hope that the sermon can close out the weekend and if it's possible, to simplify things. You know, a few different people shared, well, I've heard so many sermons. And you ever get to that saturation point where you feel like I've heard all I can hear, I can't hear no more, you know? But really, it's not rocket science making disciples. It's a lot of hard work. And it's a lot of love. And so the title of the lesson today is The Power of an Example. The Power of an Example. So I have some people here today, some men and women that share God's interest. Men and women that you're in the Bible, you're reading the Bible. Men and women that you're in prayer, you're begging God, use me. But maybe men and women that are feeling, how come I'm not more effective? Anybody feel that way? How can I be more effective, more useful for God? You know what? The power of an example is an amazing thing. We can read it on the page. We can cry out for it. But God has saw fit that what you and I need are physical flesh and blood examples to show us how to do it. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Here it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, the Hebrew writer here, he's talking to Christians. And he's saying to them, I want you to take a second and remember your leaders. Okay, so disciples, take a second and remember your leaders now. Now, these are the men and women who spoke the word of God to you. Got them in your mind? Now, consider the outcome of their way of life. Okay, right now you shouldn't be thinking about words on a page. You should be thinking about a flesh and blood example that did it in your life. Now, what was the outcome of their way of life? You became a Christian. So you consider that and you go, man, I need to imitate. What does that mean? Follow their example. But you're not imitating their works. That's part of it. You got to do the work. But it says imitate their faith. So that's so much of the example we need, guys. We need men and women of faith that are our examples. Otherwise, when we hit those storms as the song that Nikki performed was all about. The storms in life, we need those examples of men and women that handle the storms very, very differently than we do. Same man or same woman goes into the same storm, but if they have faith, you handle it in an entirely different way. And so, we're called to think of their example. Imitate their faith. Now, something very interesting here. It says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the greatest example we could ever have in how to be useful to the Master. But I wasn't around Jesus 2,000 years ago. You know, I wasn't around Him. Well, guess what? He'd be the same today. And in the future, until the return, He'd be the same. It doesn't matter. The buildings change, transportation changes, comforts change. Jesus would be the same. So let's go over to the book of Mark. Today we're going to start a Bible study in the book of Mark. And we're going to be diving into the book of Mark over the next few months. Really looking at the greatest example we've ever been given of how to be useful to the Master. Now, it is my prayer that anyone who listens to this series on the book of Mark, by the time we're done, will not only be able to mature in Christ if you already are a Christian, but will be able to learn everything you need to learn to become a Christian. A series that we can get our parents to listen to, our kids to listen to, our neighbors and strangers to listen to. And because of the example of Jesus, they can learn everything they need to learn to become a Christian. Look in Mark chapter 1, verse 16. It says here, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He said to Simon and his brother Andrew, he saw them casting a net into the lake, for they were what? Fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you, what? Fishers of men. A few days later, they left their nets and followed Him. Is that what it says? No. At once, they left their nets and followed Him. Okay, what we have here is the very, very first example of Jesus calling others to be His disciple. Memory scripture for you. And we'll memorize it right now together. Verse 17. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Here we have God in the flesh, the greatest example we could ever have. And what does He say? Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, now, are you fishing for men? If you are not a fisher of men, what does that say? Very simply, you're not following Jesus. Now, there is another option. The other option is, Jesus isn't powerful enough to make you a fisher of men. Really seriously, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh, and He says, you come follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men, then the consequence of our following Him should be that that's what we do. We fish for men. So, this is the theme of our series in Mark. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. My kids study piano. Okay? Hillary teaches them piano. Now, we pay Hillary to teach them piano. I believe Hillary says, kids, come follow me, and I'll make you able to play the piano. Right. Now, what happens if Hillary can't teach the piano? It's not going to work too well, is it? But Hillary can. Amen? We check that out. Before you start paying money, you check that on out. You want to find someone that's capable. So, if my kids are getting with Hillary and taking piano lessons, but they're not learning to play the piano, what's the problem? Not paying her enough is what you're saying. That's maybe the problem. You gotta get a few more lessons in there. I want to put before you that they're not putting in the work. If they're not learning, that would mean they're not practicing. All right, Mom, go on in there and practice. All right. Any of you take piano growing up? Did you practice piano yet? Did you practice piano yet? I'm paying for it. You need to practice piano. Right? But if you practice piano, you will learn to play the piano. Brothers and sisters, if we're following Jesus, He will make us fishers of men. That's His example. His example is excellent. All we've got to do is follow it. You know, I want to tell you a little bit about the book of Mark here. I've got a good friend named R.D. Baker. R.D. lives in Phoenix, but he's led churches in the Middle East and all over the world. And as I was talking to him the other day, he shared with me, you know what, Chris? I just got through teaching a series on the book of Mark. And I just told him I wanted to start one. So he sent me his notes, and I want to read you a few things from his introduction of the book of Mark. It says here, so many people don't really know who Jesus is. Many grasp at it. Many have heard stories, even celebrate Jesus' holidays, but many still remain Jesus illiterate. Right? He's a concept to them. But it's hard to really see an example right up close. And so we do little more than read and pray, and there isn't a lot of action. However, the book of Mark is all about action. I'm really excited to begin this study because I believe in times of chaos, confusion, uncertainty, what do we need to do? We need to go back to the basics. We need to go back to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to bring the peace, the clarity, and the direction that we need. I believe with all my heart that as we study Mark, it's going to give us faith. It's going to answer many questions for many people. It is going to allay our fears, and it's going to calm our hearts. Let me ask the members of the church. We want to be a church that honors God, right? We want to be a church that glorifies God, right? We want to be a church that God can be proud of, right? Okay, then we've got to go back to our foundation all the time. We've got to go back to our founder, which will always be Jesus Christ. Mark's good news about Jesus is so simple and so straightforward, even a child can understand it. So, the excuse of, well, I just don't understand, it's very, very simple. Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. It isn't that complicated. This is really cool. The Gospel of Mark was written around 65 A.D. Okay? That's just around 30 years after the ascension of Christ. Okay? Christ's contemporaries were still living. Okay? It was written within time to be questioned, to be looked at, to be proven authentic by the contemporaries of Christ. Now, something else happened around AD 64. Anybody know what that is? The great fire in Rome. I know we had a great fire in Chicago, but this was a great fire in Rome. Most likely it was set by Nero himself, but it was blamed on who? The Christians. It was written during a time of incredible distress and persecution of the church. Now, the Christians didn't start that fire. However, they did start a fire that spread throughout the entire world in their day. And truly, that's the fire that is still spreading today. It's the fire of Christianity. It's the fire of God's kingdom that needs to spread all over the world. As I said before, Mark is a book of action. He writes about an action-oriented Christ. Yes, Jesus came to earth, but Mark actually believes He did something while he was here. Amen, guys? And when you read Mark, he really wants you to get involved. It should inspire any true Christian that has the Spirit living inside of them to get up and to do something as well. Not to be mere observers, but to get up. And as Jesus, our example, did, to back up our words with action.
Amen,
amen, guys? After all, what did Jesus say? Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Why is it, guys, that we don't fish for men? Get afraid? Get scared? We're selfish? There really aren't a lot of reasons why. Again, it's pretty simple. Either we don't believe this, right? Which could be the case for some of us. For most of us, I don't think it is. I think we believe it. I just think we're very, very afraid. We're afraid of what other people think of us. But our example was not afraid of what other people would think of him. Jesus wasn't worried about what people were going to think. What he was worried about was the truth. And what he was worried about was loving people so much that he shared the truth with them so that they could make their decision about the truth. You guys with me here? However, you may say, wait a minute. I know Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But that was just for the 12. Right? That was just for those around him. Now, maybe you really believe that. Or maybe it's a real tidy excuse so you don't have to get up and go share with somebody you don't know. Let's just be honest. If you believe that, look at Matthew 28. It's right before the book of Mark. Matthew 28. And let's look at verse 18. Now, the words we just read in the book of Mark were some of the first words uttered by Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Here we're going to read some of the last words that are uttered by Jesus at the end of his ministry. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So, who's Jesus speaking to here? He's speaking to those disciples that were faithful after his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Okay? 11 of the 12 were still there. Amen? We won't talk about the 12th one today. Then there were a small group of others that were there. But what's his charge to them? He says, now I want you to go make disciples of all nations. What does that mean? It means go and say, come follow me as I follow Christ. And then he said, I want you to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. What does that mean? It means how we live, how we act. Remember, Jesus came down to be our example. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel I've still got a whole lot to learn to be more like Jesus, because I want to be the best example I can be to my family, to the world around me, to the people that live in my neighborhood or see me. I want to be the best example I can be inside and out. Because the power of an example, it's an incredible thing. And then people can see, that's what it means. And they can make their decision if that's what they want to be or not. And so, Jesus said, you make a disciple, you teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and, of course, you baptize them, amen, I didn't forget that part. Part of what he commanded is not just living that example. You guys sticking with me here? But then going out and fishing for men as well. First thing in his ministry, be a fisher of men. Last thing, go catch men, catch women and teach them to obey me and follow me, which means calling others to follow them. Amen. Are you with me? If it was only for the 12, it would have died in the first century and we would not be sitting here right now. It was meant to be passed along throughout all of time. So, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You say, but Jesus isn't here anymore. No, but you are. You are. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. It says here, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Again, I want you to have enough scriptures that you can be sure that's not my opinion. And as you share it with your friends, you can help them to know this is not my opinion. Here, Paul says, hey, come follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? It's exactly what we've seen happen even here in the church with Patrick. And I thought Patrick and Maria did a great job for communion. Patrick meets Maria and literally says, come follow me over to UIC where we're having Bible talk. She follows as others are following Christ. But then she turns around a few weeks ago and says to Monica, come follow me as I follow Christ. And you see exactly how God meant for it to work. That's the power of an example. Here Maria's crying because her life is a mess. Her life's such a mess she couldn't even keep her children with her, much less teach them about Jesus. She has to send them all the way back to Texas to be with their grandmother. But as soon as she gets her life right, gets her life together, we get her kids back out here, and now they're being raised by the village that is the Chicago International Christian Church. Amen? But now she reaches out to Monica, who in just a few days sees that example. And an example is a powerful thing. And becomes a Christian. Take a look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Here Paul says, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. You see it? Write that scripture down. You need to have these scriptures in your back pocket. Why? Let me tell you why. You can go to churches all over this city and all over this world this morning and sit in groups of 20, 50, or 30 or 40,000 that will come, sit, listen, and leave. And they won't leave any different than how they came in the door. The only difference is they just saw a nice G-rated movie that happened to be about God and spiritual things, and so they're a little more fired up. But is it going to make them fishers of men? If not, either Jesus was a liar or they're not following. Here, the plan is very, very clear. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now he's telling Timothy. Now, who's Timothy? Timothy's a young guy that Paul met going on one of his missionary journeys. A young guy, he said, man, that's an awesome looking young dude right there. And any guy that's trying to make disciples or make disciples or make disciples is looking for an awesome young dude to get to follow him and learn to be a fisher of men. And so Paul grabs Timothy up as a teen, and now here later, Timothy has seen Paul in the presence of many people, laying it on out. And he says, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many, now you go and trust them to just any old body? No, reliable people. That'll then be qualified to teach somebody else. Otherwise, the message dies. You see how simple it is?
Yeah.
And what's the message? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. That God does not want to count your sins against you. That God wants to forgive you. And therefore, He sent His Son to be an example. And then to die as a sacrifice for our sins. But no one would have ever heard about it unless His followers went and fished for men. Now, when I moved to Syracuse in 1999 to lead the church there, there was an incredible young man there named Joel Parlour. I think he was 12 at the time. 12 years old, which would make Brittany what? 10? How about that? And I go, that's an awesome young guy, but he's sitting on the back row with that other awesome young guy, Patrick, passing notes around during church. We called them the back row boys. Not to be confused with the back street boys. Victor can tell you about them. But anyway. Okay? The back row boys. But as they've grown and matured, look at the fine young men of God they've matured into. And we've already talked about the fruit in Patrick's life. We've seen Nikki up here, the fruit of Brittany's life here, you know, making disciples. And Joel, you know, not only is he raised up to become a Christian, and really it was Andrew, who we baptized, who helped baptize Joel, but now Joel has turned around and reached out to Omar. And Omar has now proven to be a reliable man because he reached out to Jason. And Jason was who was baptized at 4 in the morning. Was it 2 days ago? I can't remember. Saturday morning over at Lake Michigan. Why 4 in the morning? Because the reliable man that brought him out didn't get off till 3 in the morning. And so we had to wait for Omar. And then we took the trek down there and we saw his sins washed away. That is the power of a physical example. That's exactly what Paul was doing many moons ago. And under that moon was happening a couple nights ago here. Amen. Take a look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says to Timothy, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set, what? An example for the believers in speech, life, love, faith, and amen, guys, purity. You know, you can't follow example unless one's set. The power of an example. Paul is telling Timothy, you need to be an example. Let me say something. If you're not an example, you cannot be a leader.
Come on, bro.
How are we going to lead anyone to be something we're not?
Right.
Now, we all make mistakes. And let me say this. If you want a perfect leader, as one minister once said, you need to get a time machine and go on back 2,000 years and walk with Jesus, or volunteer to watch the little infants in there who haven't sinned yet. Otherwise, you're going to get an imperfect leader. Can I say something? How are we going to have churches all over the world if we got people in the church that, well, I'm not going to follow them unless they're older, more mature, they have 2.5 kids, and they have an exact perfect marriage and perfect children so that I can imitate. Then we're never going to have a church anywhere. How many of you would volunteer to go on a mission team that I said Anthony Franklin was going to lead in about a month and a half? How about Joel? Joel's going to lead one. Who'd go on that team? But these guys aren't married. They don't know what to do. They don't have kids yet. Man, I pray for more young men of God that are willing to give it all up, like Timothy, and go out there and try to meet anybody's needs no matter what stage of life you're in, but they have the same interest as God.
Come on, bro.
I don't care how perfect your marriage marriage is, how perfect your kids are, if you're not a fisher of men, you will never have impact. And over the past few years, there's been so much call, oh, we can't really spend our time out there fishing for people. It'll hurt our marriage. Please go to the class our Lord's going to teach today. Because look at their kids. You look at some, oh, great marriage, great fun patterns and all that, and their kids are just as afraid to talk to as a stranger as mom and dad are. Roger laid it out a few years ago. Man, we can't stop following Christ. What kind of example are we going to be to our children?
Come on, bro.
Our whole purpose to not go to be to heaven right now is to have fruitful labor here.
Yeah. Yeah,
if we're not going to fish for men here, let's go on and go to heaven.
Yeah.
I believe that everything's better in heaven, including sports. There'll be something awesome, okay? Major League Baseball is not a reason to not go to heaven yet. Set an example. I hope we got men and women in this room today that are willing to set an example. And that means set an example when you do mess up. Just confess it. Be real about who you are. You're not perfect. As soon as you let that out, now the weight and the burden's off. Now you're just an old little messed up, measly thing like me. But we're going to do everything we can to be our best for God, how messed up we are. You know, Joseph Joubert, that's a French guy, that's for Omar and JV over there. He said, children have more need of models than critics. Children have more need of models than critics. Before we get down on our children, let's ask ourselves, are we the model we want them to become? Again, I can't help but thank the campus ministry here. I look at these young men and women. Gosh, man, I long for my kids to grow up and be like them. You know what I mean? Flaws and all. An example. That's the power of an example. Suicide's the third leader in teens' death today. Why? Because there aren't more men and women examples. Over 3,000 teens run away every day in this country. I say part of that reason is because a little under 3,000 of their parents divorce every day in America. Tell me how bad the teens are. They're in homes that don't know how to make it work, that are breaking apart. Part of that's our own sin and our unwillingness to humble out. And that's what we're passing on instead of what Paul wanted us to pass on. That's the power of an example. I just want to share, before we close here, about how God really worked in my life through examples. Again, I grew up going to church. Grew up reading the Bible. Grew up knowing I should pray. And yet, you know what? That wasn't enough to help me be a fisher of men. I wasn't doing it. Because the examples around me in church were men and women that went to church. And at church, we all sang songs. Now, we also checked out the girls in church and see who could I take out afterwards and do things that I'd never once said in church. That's just the truth of where I was. And we saw people that at church, you see them, but the popular kids at church, they'd be friends with you. And then you go to school the next day and they won't talk to you because you're a nerd. That's not the blood of Jesus bringing unity right there, I don't think. And I grew up going to church, but I didn't see anybody fishing for men. To go out on the street and see someone talk to another stranger and invite them to church to study the Bible would be a strange thing. That's why it hardly ever happens to you out in this city. I count on one hand in over 20 years people that stopped me on the street and wanted to talk to me about Jesus. And two of them were inviting me to church where I studied the Bible. Another one of them was a brother in the same church I was in, but it was a few thousand, so we didn't know each other. And we're on the subway waiting for the platform, both kind of casing each other out to invite each other to church, and we happened to both be in the same church, so that was awesome. But if there's so many thousands of people following Jesus, why aren't there thousands of people fishing out there? I'm telling you, it's not happening. It's not happening. But I was riding the subway one night in New York City, February of 1990, and a man by the name of Tom Hughes was riding the subway. And this was an example God put in my life. He came on the subway train with another fella, his apprentice, I believe, and they sat down across from me and invited me to come to church and study the Bible. And of course, I was like, oh yeah, man, I love God. Let's get together. Later, I found out they weren't going to Manhattan like I was. They were just riding the trains back and forth, inviting people to church. They were following Jesus. Therefore, they were actually fishing for men. Now, he called me to go to church the next Sunday. And to my shame, I did one of these.
Good morning.
And basically, I played off that I was too sick to go to church. I think I'd been out Saturday night doing some things I shouldn't have done. I can't remember too well. But I faked it off right there. However, the next Saturday, he didn't give up on me. And he got me to go to a Bible talk in Jersey. Opening question to the Bible talk. Let's go around and I can't remember. It was either, let's tell somebody an excuse you've used or something you're ashamed of. One of those questions. And you know what? I said, I got to share. Last weekend I said I was too sick to go to church. That was a lie. I was just being lazy. I didn't go. Now, those people in that Bible talk, they had to be like, oh, baby, there we got a live one on the hook right there. Being honest about things. Here we go. We studied the Word of God study right after Bible talk. Now, in the Bible studies, if you don't know that we do here in the church, anytime someone comes, we say, let's sit down, let's study the Bible. Okay? And we go over the basic teachings that we need to learn to become a Christian. And so, we're doing the Word study. Do the first study. He says, so is this the way you're living? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you betcha. Second scripture. So, are you really letting the Word be lived out? You're like, oh yeah, man. Amen. Third scripture. All right, dude, let me be honest here. Right? Third scripture, I was honest and I said, this is what I want to be doing, but this is not what I'm doing. Okay. Next day, I go to church for the first time, and I'm absolutely blown away by the church that I see. I meet a young man named Randy Tinnon, who was another incredible example to me. Randy started studying the Bible with me. Now, I was pursuing theater at the time, there in New York City, and so I said, Randy, hey, before we do the Bible study, why don't you come with me? There's a scene night, a night of acting scenes that a friend of mine's in. Let's go see it. First scene, girl takes off her blouse, sitting there in her bra with the guy in the scene with, and it's about things that aren't that great. And let me just lay it out. Randy's not there. I'm trying to see closer. Right? Randy's sitting there. I am very embarrassed and ashamed because that's the power of an example. A godly example sitting next to you. Second scene, shirt comes off, girl in bra. If you know theater, you know it's pretty lewd. So much resort to sex or lewdness, you know, to make people laugh or to get people in other ways. He leans over to me. Hey, Ann, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to leave. That's the power of an example. Set an example in purity. And I said, dude, man, I know the next scene. I know there's nothing in it. Stick it out. I'll leave with you. And so it ended. We left. And we had to talk about it, man. I'm sorry. I did not know that's the way it was going to be. If that example of a godly man is not sitting next to me, I'm not feeling everything I'm feeling. I just live it out. It's awesome. Keep walking in life. Go to church Sunday morning. You with me? That's the power of an example. I got baptized. And I moved out of the place where I was living because it wasn't beyond a hint of impurity. I was living in a house with a couple guys and a girl. And while there wasn't anything going on with me and that girl, I thought, this isn't beyond a hint of impurity. And they challenged me to move out. And they said, what are you going to do if you're studying the Bible with a guy and he really wants to change his life? And he calls you up at 2 in the morning saying, I'm going to get right, I'm going to stop sleeping with this girl I'm not married to, and a girl answers your phone. Now, what kind of example is that? See, examples can be good or bad, positive or negative. So I moved out. I moved to the Upper West Side, where there were five guys living in a two-bedroom, and I was the sixth for a little while. But at night, everybody got on their knees and prayed together. In the morning, everybody was quiet, doing a quiet time in their Bibles. Then they were all lined up, waiting for the one rotary dial phone in the house, because there were no cell phones in 1990, because they all had their list out of follow-up calls of the people they'd met that they were following up with. Incredible example. Yeah. I'll never forget these examples. Then we went to the subway. Four of us went to the subway. We walked down. We're headed out on our day. As soon as we got to the bottom, what do four guys do? You just hang out. You talk. You get on the train. You go where you're going. You do what you're going to do. As soon as we hit the bottom, all three of them, you know, like rats when the light comes on. You know, all three of them went to people they didn't know and started fishing for men. And I was standing there like, oh man, this is impressive. And then Randy, seeing that, man, I wasn't engaged as of yet. He said, hey Chris, come here, this guy's an actor. Y'all ought to trade numbers. We go to church together. It's not rocket science.
Right, come on, bro.
Guys?
Come on.
Is that the example Jason's going to see coming into our church?
Wow.
Is that the example of the singles households in prayer, in the Word in the morning, following up with people, sharing their faith? That's the power of an example. And if we're not doing it, you're not following Jesus. Stop faking anybody out. Don't fake yourself out. We got to overcome these fears and start living the life. And again, as soon as you get open about it, okay, I'm a wretch. Amen. Jesus came to save wretches. Amen. That's awesome. That's good. Okay. Let me say something to the married so that you don't get off scot-free today. You know, it is campus day, but when I first came to the church, one of the things that blew me away was the families I saw. When I went and visited different families in the church and I saw their marriages and I saw their children, it's not like what I'd ever grown up with. It was incredibly impressive. Well, guys, now, we're that example. And we have to be that example to the college kids we have over in our houses. Amen. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll close there. We're just getting started, though. We're going to start going through the book of Mark next week. In 1 Timothy 1, I want to share something with you in case you're feeling like a big heel right now. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 12. In case you're feeling like somebody said earlier, Maria, man, how can I ever live up to all this? How can I ever do it? Well, one way is to actually start doing it. Because, again, growing up in church, how can I ever do it? So we just didn't do it. Just go to church, but don't do it. You know, however, you can do it. And you're surrounded by examples that we are less than perfect, but we're trying to do it. Now, when you fall short, that's a different story. 1 Timothy 1:12. Paul wanted to pass this along to Timothy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me. How? Abundantly. Along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves partial acceptance. Okay, no matter what you thought so far, what we're about to read deserves full acceptance this morning. Okay? Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's our example. And Paul says, of whom I am the worst. Anybody feel like that? If you don't feel like that, it might be a problem. You know, if you don't feel like you're the worst of sinners, you probably aren't a Christian yet. Because you haven't gotten in touch with your sin. But when you're in touch with your sin, you know, yesterday morning, I'm going along, I got up, I prayed, I read my Bible, and then I'm driving Austin to school. No, it was Saturday. Maybe it was Friday morning. I'm driving Austin to school. I dropped him off, and on the way back, somebody blew their horn at me and came around me, and I blew my horn back. You know? And I thought, I really blew it right there. But that's how life ought to be. It ought to be real clear when we blow it. So that we can then change it. It shouldn't be, oh yeah, that's how I just lived all day. And hey, there was a good moment in there. But your sin is ever before you. And you understand how bad a sinner I am. And you go, man, I want to be a better example for people. But check this out. Verse 16. Paul says, because I'm the worst, for that very reason, I was shown mercy. So that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Is that incredible? So, not only is Paul being used in such a powerful way, but he's in touch with his sin. He says, I'm the worst of sinners, but you know what? That's why God chose me. So that He could show an example of His unlimited patience for those who believe and will receive eternal life. So, can someone please define for me when unlimited patience runs out? Is that how you feel in your life? Now, if you're just like blowing God off and doing your own thing, you probably don't need to feel that. But if you're trying with all your heart to follow God, and you're saying, come follow me as I follow Christ. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And you're striving to live with the character and the example that's going to help people become Christians. You need to be able to understand there's an abundance of grace. There's an abundance of mercy. There's an abundance of patience. As long as we're trying with all our heart. God willing, we're going to see another incredible example here in a minute. As Brittany Jones is baptized. You know, a lot of the ladies have been studying with her, and I know particularly she told me she's asked Amy to ask her the questions when she gets baptized. And again, there's that example that Amy was to her. That Amy was someone she could get open with, she could talk with, and here we're going to see again the power of come follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. You know, we are way less than perfect around here. Yeah, Theo, you can attest to that. Way less than perfect. But let me say something, guys. What we're doing here is not of man. It's not of man. When the Pharisees questioned Jesus' authority in Matthew 21, what question did he ask back? John's baptism. Was it of heaven or was it of man? See, no matter how simple we are around here, you've got to ask, the baptism you're about to witness, is it from heaven or is it from men? Because if it's from heaven, then it's of God. And I believe with all my heart that what we're doing here is not of man. That while we have shortcomings and sins, God is among us here. That we're His temple along with all true disciples around the world. Be encouraged, guys. That the Spirit of God is here in the church. And that the heart of Jesus is working His miracles through people that are less than glorious in the flesh, but absolutely glorious in God. God bless you.